Blog
Deborah E. Lake Show, and I'm Deborah E. Lake, and we're going to be talking about laughter and humor and the benefits of laughter and humor. And I'm here with Karen Sager from New York, and I hope we will have another guest join us as well, but I'm going to bring Karen in right now and welcome you to the show so we can get started talking about what's funny, how laughter works in your life to get you over the hard humps. Hi, Karen. How are you?
Oh, hi, Deborah. I'm great. How are you?
Great, great, and I'm glad you're with me, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so one of the things that I did at first was I asked people what their favorite joke was, and I'll have to be honest and say that I'm someone who cannot tell a joke. I don't have that gift. I either forget the punchline or I miss the main point to get to the punchline. But I have a great sense of humor, so much so that I can laugh at myself. And so what is your favorite joke? Let's start with that.
Well, here's my favorite joke ever. So a duck walks into the bar, and he goes up to the bartender, and he says, do you have any duck food? And the bartender says, no, we don't have any duck food. And the duck says, thank you, and walks out. Next day, the duck walks back into the bar, and he says to the bartender, do you have any duck food? And the bartender says, no, we don't have any duck food. Get out of here. And the duck says, thank you, and walks out. The third day, the duck walks in, and he says to the bartender, do you have any duck food? And the bartender says, look, duck, we don't have any duck food here. If you come back in one more time asking for duck food, I'm going to nail your feet to the floor. And the duck says, thank you, and walks out. The next day, duck walks in, says to the bartender, do you have any nails? And the bartender says, no, I don't have any nails. And so the duck says, do you have any duck food?
That's great.
That's my favorite joke in the whole world.
Yeah, that's a good one. And one of the things that I've often wondered, and part of why I did this show, is because you never can really say what is funny. The only thing you know is you recognize it, and it's funny to you. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are. What makes something funny? You know, like that joke is funny for different reasons. And some people might not find it funny at all.
Yeah.
Humor is very, very personal, I think.
Well, yeah, some things just tickle me and some things just don't. And it's funny, I was trying to think of some cross-cultural jokes today because I deal with a lot of international people from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Through work and through fun and Facebook and all that. And I was trying to come up with a joke that was multicultural, and it's hard. You know, I think jokes are very, very cultural. And one of the most frustrating things I've ever experienced when I have been traveling or living or in a new country or learning a new language is getting the punchline of a joke. You know, I get to
mm-hmm.
follow it, I get to the very end, and then I can't understand the punchline. But you know, I like puns. I like silly jokes. I like jokes that appeal to people under the age of 8 and over the age of 78. That's kind of they're my audience.
Yeah, that's pretty much everyone. I have my granddaughter. She's discovering her humor, and I don't know the name of the book, but there's some book that's geared toward. She's 8-ish. Toward grade school kids, and she finds it hilarious. She'll read little parts of it to me, and it's great to see her humor take shape. It really is, and humor is so individual, and because I've been in audiences and seen shows and seen comedians act, and sometimes they're funny, and sometimes everyone, it seems like everyone else is getting it but me, and it's just not funny.
There's nothing sadder than a comedian who's tanking. It's painful. I don't know. And sometimes, I usually try to laugh and help them out just because it's so painful, but sometimes you just can't even do that. You just have to let them sink.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Who is your favorite comedian?
My favorite comedian? Gosh. Oh, well, I really love The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I think they're just so funny, and they just make the stressful news of the day, absolutely, they turn it on its ear, and they make it look ridiculous, and it's hysterical. And John Oliver is just so funny. I can't. And Samantha Bee, all of them, they're just so witty and clever. And and then there's the fellow who does the bit about hot pockets and bacon. I have to look him up. But if you look up hot pockets on Google, this guy, I can listen to it like 10 times in a row. It's hysterical. So funny.
Yeah, my favorite comedian was George Carlin.
Brilliant!
He would make me fall out of my chair laughing. Sometimes just his facial expression was hilarious. They were hilarious. They really were.
Well, he's another one that kind of told it like it was. He was very political and very. I mean, he just cut no punches. He just laid it out there and. It was so funny the way he put it.
Yeah.
Well, the comedian I was mentioning about the Hot Pockets is Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So how do you use humor in your life to cope, or do you?
Well, you know, I told you when we were corresponding about this past Christmas, you know, my father and mother-in-law are getting older, and we weren't comfortable having them drive 8 hours across the states to get to where the family was in Connecticut for the holidays. So my husband and I drove up there, in Buffalo, and we picked them up, and then we all drove to Connecticut. And I mean, it was a long drive in a car, and we don't see each other very often. And I love them. We love each other. But we bought a set of CDs of the Prairie Home Companion Joke Show. And I tell you, it was the greatest road trip in the world. It just was, we just laughed for about 8 hours. And the funniest part of it was that we stopped at a rest area, and I got out to help my mother-in-law out because she can't walk very well. But I got out of the car, and I walked to her door, and do you know, right outside her door, someone had thrown a banana peel. I mean,
it couldn't
have been more slapped. I mean, I didn't let her step on it, and it was frozen solid, but she really would have slipped and fallen. And it wouldn't have been funny, but just the thought of, like, the luck of our luck finding a frozen banana peel when we've been listening to funny, silly jokes all day, it was great.
Yeah, slapstick stuff.
So funny. But, you know, I use humor to kind of break the ice when I'm working with new people or meeting new people or trying to make somebody comfortable in a new environment. You have to be a little bit careful because you hear horror stories of people going to international conferences and telling wildly inappropriate jokes or, like I said, internationally, it's tricky because, you know, a gesture in one country could mean something completely different in another country. And so you have to be a little bit conscious and careful about it, but usually it's a really great way to take somebody's mind off something difficult or bring a little perspective to a situation or just feel better, you know, when you laugh. Again, I visited my father-in-law. He had a bit of surgery, and we raced up to Buffalo. And, I mean, he and I can't be in the same room together without laughing, except it was in his stomach, so every time he laughed, he was in pain, and I felt so terrible, but he didn't kick me out, so I think it didn't hurt him too much.
One of the things, I was reading up about it, and some of the things we might already know, but one of the things is laughter helps ease pain. It does.
Oh, yeah.
There's There's an article that I was looking at, and it's on my website as well, Psychology Today.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the benefits of laughter is you don't feel pain as much.
Uh-huh.
Even though if it's in your stomach, abdomen, you can, you know, aggravate those muscles. But overall, I think one of the things that happens is your endorphins are released as well in your brain, and that helps to cope with the pain when you're happy and laughing in that way. Yes, definitely. One of the things that I find, I've been going through a lot of transitions, and any time that you have life transitions, there's the potential for stress and loss and all of the things that come with transitions, even though they're good. And I have a friend, and we laugh sometimes so much till we can't catch our breaths. and that has been something that really I benefited from, because, one, it was a distraction from some of the things that were going on, and, two, it almost felt like a total release, you know, when we would have just a really good laugh about a joke or something that happened funny between us. So one of the things that I'd like for people to really hold on to, especially today, with the economy being the way it is and with some of the things that are up in the air like they are, is to find the places where there's humor in their lives. So I'm wondering where you look for humor. For instance, if you're – now, I'm sure there are times – I know there are. There are times when humor is not appropriate, like you just talked about, the cultural barriers and being careful with what's funny and what's not. There's also times, like in the time of loss or when you just need a good cry, and that's not appropriate to laugh either. But I'm wondering when you're coming out of that, because I believe that laughter is part of healing. When you go through the bad times, part of coming out of that is when you can find the humor. Maybe not about whatever it is you're going through, but you can laugh about something. That's, to me, that indicates that you're on the road to healing. So I'm wondering where you look when you want to bring more laughter into your life. Where
well,
do you look?
I have my sort of go-to hysterically funny people. My oldest, dearest friend in the entire world is the one person who can, immediately make me get over a terrible headache or forget my stress or any worry that I have in the world. I'll call him up, and this is, we've been this way since we were little kids, and he, I don't know what it is, but when I was growing up, I used to get really bad stress headaches until I learned how to deal with stress. And he was the only thing that could get rid of my headache. No giant ibuprofens or massages. It was laughing, and it was laughing like only he could make me laugh. And so that's where I look. But, and I also ask for it. My husband was, he always said to me, you know, you're the funny one. You're the one with the silly puns and the duck jokes. And so I turned it around on him about two years ago, and I said, you know what, it's a big responsibility to make you laugh. It's, you know, I take it seriously, but sometimes I need you to make me laugh too. And do you know, it kind of liberated him, because that had
mm-hmm.
been my role. I was the funny one in the family with all the, you know, the silly jokes, and suddenly he became one of the most hysterical people I know. And it had never been his role. He had never really seen himself that way until I asked him to do that. And suddenly, you know, I kind of created a monster, and it's been so fun. But I do have, I kind of have my really funny, hysterically funny friends. Oh, the other day, somebody, one of my dearest, most hysterically funny friends, he called me a she-cat. We were talking about, I don't know, vamping. I don't know what we're talking about, but he called me. But do you know, I heard was chic hat. I'm like, why would you call me a chic hat? And it was so hysterical. It was so out of context, and I just loved it. I'm like, no one's ever called me that before. Well, no one's ever called me a she-cat before either, but, you know, just silly, you know, you hear what you want to hear, and very funny, silly situations that I seek out. But I do. I have people that I know are going to make me laugh. Where do you get humor?
I one of the things that I like to do is watch funny television shows or watch a funny movie. There's one movie that I love, and I think it's called The Breakup, where I don't know the two main characters, but it's hilarious. These two, the guy and the girl are together, and they're hunky-dory, and then they go through a breakup, and that's when it gets into the funny part. And another thing that I like to do is watch old Golden Girls shows. They have
brilliant.
Some really funny lines in those shows.
They are absolutely, it's one of the best written shows in the history of television. They're brilliant. So good.
Yeah, and that helps me get back in touch with the humor in my life. And any time that I do something silly or funny, I'm the first to laugh at myself. My friends always know that I'll laugh at myself before I laugh at anything. So one of the things that I do, I think I got this from my father, is just to have a sense of humor about me, about myself. You know, don't take myself too seriously. Just kind of let it go, whichever way it's going to go.
Yeah, that's when people can't laugh at themselves, they're not much fun to be around. Because then you feel bad for laughing at them, too, so that's not fun.
Well, then, you know, one of the things that I like what you said about giving your husband permission to help you find humor,
mm-hmm.
that was good. That was really good, because one of the things that we do as we get in our relationships, and laughter is about relationships too. It's very intimate when you share a funny moment with someone. But you get in these roles that you just described, where you were the one who were taking on the responsibility mainly for him to have his sense of humor. But then you had the insight to reverse it and get what your needs are as well. Yeah, I like that. So it looks like we're going to run again. Pardon me?
I said it was great. Works great for me.
Yeah, I bet. And one of the things that's important in relationships is being able to know what you need and ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like our other guest is here, and I'm going to welcome. Hello, how are you? Is this Barbara Lee? Hello? Hello? Hello, Barbara Lee? Huh. Hello? Barbara Lee? No? Well, someone's showing up, but they're not. That's odd. Hello? Hello?
Hello, this is Nancy Sales.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
I have the wrong name. I apologize for that.
Well, no, I'm here.
I'm in transition. My producer, I'm looking for a new producer. So if anybody's out there looking to produce, let me know. So it's showing up. I have the wrong. I totally apologize for that. I am very sorry. But welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you.
Hi. Glad you were able to get it with us, you know, because another thing was the number. We're talking about humor, as you know.
Right. I was just listening for a few minutes.
And I'm here with Karen as well. She's with us on the show still. Karen, are you still there?
I sure am.
Yes. And where we started with, I gave the truth. I don't tell jokes very well, but I enjoy jokes. So if you don't mind sharing your favorite joke, that would be great.
The favorite joke that I've already told you?
Yes.
Sometimes these things just stick with you over the years, and I remember the story about an 85-year-old man who married a 25-year-old girl, and the doctor said to him, "You know, at this age, sex could be fatal." And he shrugs and he says, "Well, if she dies, she dies."
You know, one of the things I liked about that joke was the outlook. It was like he had no clue. He was talking about, you know, we were talking about you. I really like that outlook. And another thing we were talking about was how we use humor to get over some of the rough spots in our lives. I think a lot of people are going through rough spots. I'm proof of it. Went through a couple of rough shots, not putting this show together. But so I'm wondering if you can share how you use humor, if you do, and laughter, and in helping get beyond the rough spots in your lives.
I just think it is so important to use humor whenever possible. Life is tough. Life is hard. Mm-hmm. Things happen that are on a daily basis during the course of a lifetime that are sad, that are tragic, that make you unhappy. You have to be able to get out of that. And I got to tell you something, it feels better to laugh than to cry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was very fortunate in my choice of parents. I had a great set of parents, and particularly my dad was a very funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up with this, and humor has always been so important in my life. And I've been raising my own son to follow in my footsteps. It's true that I happen to get on all of his report cards throughout school the little comment that says, "Talks too much." I have no idea where he gets it. But I feel so good that he feels the same way I do about being able to laugh yourself through the adversity.
Yes, and just the everyday irritations, just everyday, like traffic, getting stuck in traffic. Karen, I'm wondering, did you get some kind of role model from your children, your father when you were growing up, or mother?
Oh, my dad was hysterical. He was so funny, and he was an incredible storyteller. He didn't tell a lot of jokes. I was usually the one that brought him the jokes, and then he'd tell me funny, funny stories. And he was a really great writer. I have all of the letters he ever wrote to me. So funny. My mom was a funny in a more of a situational kind of way. She was a very serious sort of scholar, linguist. Still is, but she would laugh herself silly, and she liked to play board games and cheat. She was a big cheater, still is. So, you know, anything to not take life so seriously, I kind of learned that from her. But I was also thinking about times when humor just isn't good, like when I was in a concert in Notre Dame in Paris, and it was so unusual, and the music was it was an improvisational concert on the organ, and it was very dramatic, and there was somebody doing a dramatic reading in French of the Bible, and it was over the top intense, and I just started to laugh, and of course we walked straight to the front of the church, or a quarter mile from where we can escape to, because it's such a huge church, and I started to laugh, and I was shaking and trying not to let it. So my sister-in-law was next to me, and she starts shaking, and then my husband starts laughing, and we were in so much trouble. And finally, we just decided we had to leave, so we got up and sheepishly raced out. But to this day, that is like the funniest family story that we have. Oh, it was so inappropriate. We felt so bad.
Well, you know, the worst thing to do is to try to not to laugh when you feel like you need to laugh. That makes it even worse.
Oh, you're doomed. You're absolutely doomed. Yeah.
I grew up as a Catholic, and as a kid, I can remember trying to stifle laughter many, many days in mass, and it just did not work. No, it did not.
Yeah, especially if you have cohorts like other people. It's contagious. When you get the giggles at the worst time, everybody is completely, yeah, it's contagious. Oh, yeah. You just have to get up and please excuse yourself.
and
stop breathing, one or the other.
Yeah, and one of the other things, it draws people to you because when you're laughing, people want to be around you more. So one of the things that I found that it brings groups together. I think that's why successful comedians have such a large following, because people bond around the laughter a lot easier than other things, I think.
But you know, they're not necessarily the happiest people.
No. And I you're right. And I think that is perfect. Oh, God, I'm glad you brought that up, because it is perfect, because a lot of times I think they've used or find laughter in a lot of pain. And you know, I'm thinking of Richard Pryor, for instance.
Oh, yes.
You know, he had a tragic life, but he was very successful as a comedian. Oh, you're absolutely right, Nancy. Wow. Glad you brought that up, yeah. So that is one example of how we can use laughter to heal, like we were talking earlier, to heal. So I'm wondering if you can share one particular example, if you feel like sharing that, where you felt like laughter was helping you heal over a particular event.
Well, I can give you an example that is very recent. I lost my sister just 1 month ago. And thank you. And there we were at the funeral, and with friends and family doing eulogies. And I got up there and I said, while we are listening to a variety of people extolling my sister's virtues, many virtues, I feel that since I knew her longer than anyone in the room, it's about time that everyone knew the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on and I told one funny story after another. The first little snicker that I got, it was a little bit uncomfortable because people weren't sure they should be laughing at a funeral. Mm. And by the time it was over, everybody was just cracking up. And I think that it made everyone feel a little better. It sure made me feel a little bit better, because I was talking about things that she was really all about.
Mm.
And funny things that happened as I was growing up with her as my big sister. So I think in that frame of reference, it did feel very healing to laugh. And I think that the fact that no less than 25 or 30 people came up to me afterwards to comment on my comments, I think that was telling.
Yes. Yeah, the feedback that you got was all, yeah, yeah.
Well, I have to say, you know, at my father's wake, it was one of the most hysterical parties I've ever been to. There was a lot of crying and a lot of sadness, but then a few of my dad's former graduate students, he was a professor, stood up and started telling stories about mishaps in the lab and, you know, how my dad always saved them and all of these. I mean, people were literally crying in laughter. It was so memorable, and I just loved that, because that was totally the kind of party he would have liked to have.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's a great send-off.
Yeah.
Everybody should have a send-off like that.
Yes. That's sort of like what the Irish do. They get together after and celebrate the person's life, tell stories about, you know, what they remember, things like that. I think that's a wonderful way to send someone, to say goodbye.
Right.
Funerals are usually, they're for the people who are left behind, to bring closure and say goodbye, and that's a good way to do it. remembering, celebrating the person that you knew. Yeah, yeah, that's beautiful. My father, when my mother and father died, there wasn't a lot of laughter. But after I went through the grieving process on my own, I remember my mother, she could light up a room. When she just walked in, she would just light it up and had a wonderful sense of humor. And I remember that now fondly. And my father, I can still remember his laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I can still hear it. He's been dead since the 90s, and there's still things I can remember, and his laughter is one of them. So I think laughter is very important. And from what I'm seeing, I don't think we do it enough. I think we give ourselves more permission to be angry or frustrated. Or I see people in traffic who are. I just saw one man who was literally yelling in his car. He was the only person in there. He was just yelling at the traffic, and I'd like to see us be more. Jovial and give each other more permission, like you did, Karen, with your husband, and said, yeah, come on, make me laugh too. Mm-hmm. And give each other permission to be funny. Yeah.
Well, I read a statistic, I don't know if it's true, but it was shocking, and it was that little children laugh about 200 times a day and adults laugh less than 20.
Yeah.
Really? I'm sure it's less than 10, actually. So,
yeah,
you totally neglect that.
I think sometimes it's very healing to hang around babies.
Exactly.
How can you hang around a little kid and not laugh?
That's true.
My kid made me laugh every single day that he was growing up. Now he just left the other day for his second year of college, and there's a lot less funny stuff going on in this house.
Well, Karen, tell me, that leads me to ask you, where do you find the humor when you're looking for it or you need it? Where do you look? Do you have a favorite television show, comedian, or anything like that?
I'm sorry. Oh, sorry, I was
going
to... Nancy.
well, you know... Karen, go ahead and answer it.
I already did. I forgot to say YouTube, though.
YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that reminds me of one that's on my website. There's a video on YouTube of a little kid and a dog, and it's hilarious. I find it hilarious every time I look at it. The dog and the kid are playing around in the floor, and the kid is just having a ball.
Oh, it's a beautiful video. It's beautiful.
So, Nancy, I'm going to ask you again. Where do you look to get your humor? YouTube?
Oh,
or do you have a favorite comedian?
Oh, Deborah, I'm so easy. I am so easy. Yeah, I have favorite comedians, you know, over the course of years. It changes.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be, I discovered Lewis Black not all that long ago.
Mm, okay.
And
okay.
But I'll tell you, it's really very funny because I was watching HBO, and I was hysterical. I couldn't believe what was coming out of this guy's mouth. And my husband walked in, my husband who does not use language of any sort at any time. He's just that type of guy. So I said, you really have to leave. You're going to hate this guy. And he did, and I just went on and watched the rest of the show. Fast forward to a year or so later, where Lewis Black is performing in Los Angeles. It's for the Booksellers Convention. It's a mixed crowd. There are children in the audience. And I said, I'm going to buy tickets because my husband's going to love this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he won't be using language, it's a mixed crowd. Well, unfortunately, he didn't get the memo. And I was sitting there terribly embarrassed in back of a row of young kids. Oh, it was painful. But we just then, you know, from the ridiculous to the sublime, we just recently saw Jackie Mason.
Okay.
As in, is he still alive? Yes, he still is. And he was absolutely a riot. And what is really funny is that my husband is Japanese from Hawaii, born and raised in Hawaii, third generation Japanese. He is such a fan of Jackie Mason. If you could hear this guy do a Yiddish accent, it is the funny with a Japanese face. It is the funniest thing you have ever seen in your life.
I bet.
And you know, then I like funny movies. I like funny TV. That's a little bit, you know, it's few and far between these days. Not as funny as TV used to be.
Yeah. One of the things that we talked a little bit about what's funny to each person, you know, it's individual. One of the things that I don't find funny at all, and I'm not going to even try to figure out why, is just the whole slapstick thing. You know, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't know why. You know, where you're falling down and like the Three Stooges. I'm going to date myself. That kind of humor.
Well, you know, if you're dating yourself, I'm dating myself. I go way back, too. And I think that there are some people who were brilliant at it, and I think they were brilliant at slapstick. And I think that some of the newer ones are not necessarily as funny, but I think I can still appreciate the Three Stooges. I can still appreciate a Steve Martin to a certain extent. You know, there are some – Dick Van Dyke is a brilliant physical comic.
That I get, yeah. Where the physical part. And Lucille Ball was another one.
Totally.
Who used her whole body in her comedy.
Carol Burnett's
as
another
well.
One.
Yes, yes.
Just people who can make you laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a gift.
It is. It is a gift, and it should be shared more. One of the things that distresses me is some of the stuff that's going by as humor now is more, I'm trying to find the word, not so much humor as insulting, I guess, is one of the things that I'm talking about, more like making fun of a particular group, like women, or you know how you have men who dress up like women and then call it humor, that kind of thing. That's what's happening, what I see now, that's not too funny to me.
Anything that is too crude or just offensive or insulting, that I don't think is funny. I was in a group of people, and I knew it was the wrong group of people for me. They were watching all these videos on YouTube of people falling and injuring themselves. And one was a woman who, she was on a platform stomping grapes in this video, and the platform collapsed, and she falls flat on her face from about 5 feet up. And obviously, I mean, she was in severe trouble and horrible, and she's screaming, and all of these people were laughing, and they watched it over and over. And I thought, this is just not my people.
You know, and there's some stuff I think that's particularly guy stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I know that I have walked into my living room where my husband and son were watching America's Funniest Videos, and which to me is as unfunny a show that has ever been on the air. And I look at it and I said, and they're rolling on the floor, right? I don't get it. I don't think that little kids getting hurt is fun to watch.
No.
Or, you know,
terrible.
I just don't get it. So, but I think that it's, you know, each to his own.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of talking about with the slapstick, with the Three Stooges, poking in the eye and that kind of stuff. I know some people think that's funny, but I don't get it. I don't get it. I guess I'm thinking, would it be funny if I got poked in the eye?
Yeah, not care.
And no, it wouldn't be. So what are some of the benefits that you've noticed in your life, both you, Nancy, and Karen, that you've noticed in your life as far as when you laugh? And you have a good roll in the hay laughing. You're just bent over laughing. How do you feel after?
Well, I can tell you that I call situations like that healing laughs or cleansing laughs. And I think that it's very important to have those from time to time. And they are with tears rolling down your face and doubling over in laughter and not being able to stop. And how do you feel? You feel great. You know, you feel just great. I'll give you one quick story. A few months ago, my sister had been very ill for a very long time, for many years. And a few months ago, we were talking about the fact that if our parents were alive today, that in October, it would be my father's 100th birthday.
Wow.
And because they were married on his 25th birthday, it would have been their 75th anniversary.
Wow.
And I said to her, do you have any idea of the party we would have to throw? And then we thought, maybe we'll throw it anyway. We'll just have a family gathering to have the party anyway. And it was like, well, where should we have it? And she said, maybe we should have it up at the cemetery. And I said, yeah, either everybody is already there or they know how to get there. Well, the two of us started the conversation, and it got sillier and sillier. And, you know, here she was really very sick, and we were laughing. We couldn't stop. We couldn't breathe. Our husbands were horrified. They thought it was the darkest humor. They thought it was in the worst possible taste. And we laughed, and in days following, we talked about having laughed that hard. And, you know, how does it feel? It feels great.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's one of those, it's like the gift that keeps on giving, because you go through the laughter, and then when your face stops hurting, you remember it. You remember when we laughed so hard, and then it just goes on and on for years. Remember that time we cracked up in the church and we got in big trouble? Yeah, it just keeps giving, and yeah, you feel great, and it's, well, except for when your face hurts too much. But
the expression that I use is, I laughed for a week. And when something is that funny and you literally, you laugh every day, you know, you're just recalling it. It makes a day better. It's not necessarily making a bad day good, but it makes any day better.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And I definitely agree with the gift that keeps giving, because you do. You have those moments and then you revisit them. Sometimes for the rest of your life, you're still talking about particular moments, and you laugh all over again. Yeah, that's great. Well, we're going to wind down a little bit. So one of the things that I like to ask my guests to do is to leave with a final thought or final thing you'd like to say or share. And this is about that time. So,
Karen, you're up.
Oh, sure. Oh, well, I just want to thank you for inviting me on your show. I think everyone should look at your website and really, humor can help us bring peace to this world, because we really have to do something to get along and to promote tolerance and understanding. And if I can do that with my duck jokes, then by golly, I'm going to keep doing it. And thank you so much for discussing this topic and for inviting me to be on your show. It was really, really lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here as well. Yes. What about you, Nancy? You have any final thoughts or anything you'd like to leave us?
I can just echo the appreciation for inviting me. This was a lot of fun. I make a living putting authors on radio and TV shows, and I don't generally have to go on myself. So I was so I was very happy to have this experience, and now I can relate to them a little bit better. But I think that I just couldn't resist taking the opportunity to talk about doing one of my all-time favorite things, and that's laughing. And I'm glad I have it, and I hope your listeners will enjoy it as well.
I'm sure they will. And again, thank you both for being on the show and for bringing a little laughter into my face and some laughter into the faces of my listeners as well. I appreciate both of you, and all the best to you each and your families.
Very much. Okay.
All
right.
Good night. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. That's all I have for you today. Thanks for listening. This is the Deborah E. Lake Show. And I'm here to let you know that no matter what happens, you can recognize, you can claim, and you can live fully in your life. Kinks, troubles, joys, and all. Until next time, world.